Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Sam Pets Radio, Australia's coolest podcast network.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of All the Small Games. My name is Andrew Levins.
I am Jonathan Valenzuela, and oh boy, am I excited to talk about indie games today, Levins.
That's right, because this is an indie games podcast, and yes. This weekend, John played more of them than I did.
Sure, I played two of them.
I went bush. I was phone off for the most part. I brought my Switch thinking, hell yeah, the kids will go to bed, everyone will go to bed, and I won't want to stay up drinking all night with the adults. But guess what, John?
You absolutely did.
Yeah.
You went to sleep at the same time as the kids. Yeah.
Actually, they really lit the burned the candle at both ends. These kids, you know, they know how to party.
My God. Man,
they going to bed at 10 p.m. waking up at 6.
Whoa.
It's pretty much exactly what I do, to be honest.
Well, on top of playing more games than you this weekend, there was also a big Xbox indie event over the last week that I love that they did this just because it feels like PlayStation did their indie thing and Xbox were like, whoa, hold up. Let's remember who the real indie players in this scene are. And they dropped like over 60 games over the course of this stream. Like some we've seen before, you know, confirmation that like Sable is coming to Xbox Game Pass day one and stuff like that. Ton of new games that I've never seen before and a bunch that I'm really excited about. And I sat down last night and just went through all the announcements and made a list of the ones that I'm really like, oh crap, I need to play that. Have you spotted anything?
I was very, very pleased to see some games that I've been waiting for many years still in the mix. There's still like little hints of Sable, you know, eventually coming to Xbox at some point. Mm-hmm. Before we get into it, I want to roast Xbox's branding yet once again. Like obviously we've already got the, you know, Xbox One, Xbox One X, Xbox Series X, Xbox Series S. It's confusing. But their indie showcase name is ID at Xbox Twitch Showcase, which is just...
Yeah, it was like a collaboration with a subreddit called Twitch Gaming. I mean, I don't mind...
Oh, yeah, you're right. Because it's not even ID at Xbox Twitch Gaming. It's ID at Xbox and then slash, like an actual slash, Twitch Gaming, all lowercase, showcase.
Yeah.
Ugh, it's exhausting.
That's definitely confusing. I don't mind the ID at Xbox part just because that's been their indie game program for almost a decade now, maybe a bit longer.
ID.
But the Twitch part, I was like, why have you collabed with these people? What was the point in that?
Whatever. But people were talking about it, and the most important thing is that tons of very good indie games were either announced or confirmed. I mean, a lot of these games were confirmed for Game Pass Day One, which is very exciting for me. And you, I imagine,
hugely exciting.
What games really set your heart alight?
All right, so There are nine, like I think I said, that I picked that really look awesome. First up is Moonglow Bay, by a developer called Bunnyhug. It's a fishing RPG, which I'm just like, hell yes, sign me up. I want to play immediately. I love fishing. I love fishing mechanics in games. And if the whole game is about fishing, that's fantastic. It looks really, really cute. Feels like it's got a very sort of heartfelt tale behind it, or story behind it. And a really
the art
kind
looks
of
similar to Kato.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, it's like it's voxel art. So it's kind of like if Kato met The Tourist.
Mm-hmm.
So that looks great. Next up is Nobody Saves the World. So this was developed by Drinkbox, who are the Guacamelee devs. It's an isometric action game with a fantasy setting. And it looks like you, the player, can unlock various forms that you can morph into. So, like, you know, you need to get in somewhere small, you morph into a rat. You can morph into a knight to fight people. It looks like eventually you can start combining abilities that the various forms you take have. So it looks like it's going to be a real fun time of kind of like dungeon crawling and switching your form around and seeing how far you can get.
I'm keen for this. I like Drinkbox as a studio for sure. But my favorite thing about Guacamelee, both of them, was the combat and the exploration kind of platforming. Whereas this seems to be a lot more like the things I didn't love and found a bit tiring was the writing in Guacamelee, and then this seems to be leaning a lot more into the stuff that I don't love about Drinkbox. But we'll see. I'll go into it as open a mind as possible.
Rightio. Next one is Death's Door. So this one's been making a bit of a splash online over the last couple of days. It's by a developer called Acid Nerve. They're the two-person team who previously made the game Titan Souls. So again, it's an isometric action game. Seems to be a bit of a flavor at the moment, but honestly, when does isometric action ever go out of style? You play as a crow with a sword who apparently is like sent to kill various targets. So there's a bit of like, it looks like there's a bit of kind of Hades style fighting your way through and then facing off against these insane big boss battles that just look really like the bosses look really creative. There's one that looks like a building. There's one that's like a giant frog. I don't know. I feel like, have you ever played Titan Souls?
No, I love that there's a game called Titan Souls. It just feels like word salad turned into a game. Like
I think
game.
I think you'd enjoy it. I feel like you would enjoy it. It's basically
Death's
like,
Door is a much better name for a game.
It's a boss battler. That looks really cool. 12 minutes, we've mentioned 12 minutes before. I bring it up again just because it was in there, but it's that the time loop game being published by Annapurna, by single dev Louis Antonio. Big old voice cast, James McAvoy, Daisy Ridley, William Dafoe. It's a time loop game where you got to work out why a policeman keeps bursting into your house, accusing your wife of murder and killing you. Now, talking about game names, Levins.
Yep.
You know, Titan Souls, like you say, word salad. Death's Door, it's a better game. Okay, it's a better name. How about Airport? Sure. How about Airport for Aliens, currently run by dogs?
That's a perfect name for a game. I don't think it gets better than that.
No, that is. I saw that and was like, right, this is going on the list based purely on the name. So it's by a dev called Strange Scaffold. One is a solo dev, and he did narrative design for Hypnospace Outlaw and Skatebird.
I was going to say it looks very similar.
The whole point of the game is you are in an airport for aliens, so it's like a spaceport essentially. You have to go meet your fiance or your partner in another airport. You get your boarding pass. It is an alien language that you do not understand, and so you have to like run around trying to work out where you're supposed to go. All the airport is, like it says, run by dogs. All of the dogs are just stock photos of dogs. And it looks just like it's going to be a really funny, weird time. We've got Echo Generation by a dev called Coco Cucumber. It's an adventure RPG with turn-based combat around a group of kids investigating supernatural occurrences to save their town. So big kind of Stranger Things vibes there. It looks really cool. Song of Iron by Escape LLC. It's a side-scrolling action game. You play a Viking who is trying to fight through, you know, various groups of man and beast who are trying to stop you to make your way to the Great Temple of the Gods with the purpose of saving your people. It just looks like really, like, hectic, good side-scrolling combat. A lot of sort of weapon-focused stuff. Then we have The Big Con by a dev team called Mighty Yell. So it's an adventure game where you're a young girl in the 90s whose mum has gone into debt with some loan sharks. And so you have to, like, sneak around, pickpocket, steal, and pull cons on people to earn up the money to kind of pay off her debt and save your mum. It's got a really kind of cool cartoony graphic style to it, really nice and bright. And then finally, Void Train. So this is by a dev team called Niaga, N-E-A-R-G-A. So it's a first-person game where you are riding on and sort of building up a train that travels between dimensions. So you kind of, like, the train will follow a track, and each dimension you have time to, like, go and collect resources to improve your train. You got to fight off enemies that are trying to attack you, and then it's through a portal to the next dimension. Looks, you know, I love the concept. I just love the idea of being on a train that goes between dimensions. So I think I saw this one mentioned, like, late last year, maybe E3 last year. So it was great to see it show up in this ID at Xbox Prezzo or Twitch stream or whatever. Because, you know, it means, hey, could be seeing some day one Game Pass on that.
Yeah, like you said, most of these games look like they're going to be day one Game Pass games, which is very cool. But yeah, there was 60 games all up that they talked about in the conference. A game that I really liked the look of is called Little Witch in the Woods, which is made by a South Korean studio called Sunny Side Up. It's like a fantasy RPG. But apparently it takes a lot of inspiration from the Studio Ghibli movie Kiki's Delivery Service, and you play like a young witch whose name is Ellie in a new town. She has to study magical creatures, brew potions, and learn more about witchcraft. And then there's like a witch school, and you got to talk with like animals and like do stuff with the villagers. It looks really, really cute and fun. And it's all pixel art as well, like gorgeous pixel art.
Amazing. Sounds great.
And so this was in that, remember that Wholesome Direct, the indie game showcase that was happening last year? This was announced in that, and it was originally only going to be on PC, so it looks like Xbox has swooped in and said, we want this as a console exclusive. So that's nice. Cool too.
Hell yeah.
Very, very keen.
And of course, there's, like I said, they had a bunch of games that we've, you know, heard of before. So Backbone, that noir detective game where, you know, it's all animals are the characters. Boyfriend Dungeon, which is the, like, that crazy dungeon crawler slash dating game where you date your swords. Dead Static Drive from down in Melbourne, described as, you know, GTA meets Cthulhu. It really was like, oh my god, the sheer amount of games that these guys have announced is incredible. Sable,
yeah,
so great to still be getting those little kind of drip feed bits of information about Sable. Can't wait.
No sign of Tunic though.
And funnily enough, looking at all this, it reminded me, you know what I haven't heard any information about in a long time? Knuckle Sandwich.
Oh yeah, that was a good game too. These are like, you know, the very few demos of games that we've played on the show together.
Yeah,
and neither of them have come out.
Yeah, nothing I've heard about it in ages. I hope the guy is still beavering away at it, and we'll hear something soon. But at this point,
foxing away at it.
Sure. Yeah.
Narita Boy also got a little mention in the showcase, and that is a game that comes out this week, which I'm very excited about. Published by Team 17.
Yeah, that's. I'm looking forward to that after playing the demo and getting to go deeper into that world. It's going to be really interesting. Just scrolling through another article, they also did a game called Way to the Woods, which is developed by a solo dev in Melbourne, a guy called Anthony Tan, and it's about a deer and a fawn who go on a journey through an abandoned world to get home. I've seen some footage of this, and it looks really, really cool.
Features music from the dudes from Steven Universe, and it's set in a place called Cat Town. So obviously, you know who you are, audience, for that game.
Yeah.
Go and get it.
This one's for you, furries.
Should I watch the entire showcase? I heard it was very long.
Nah, it's like 4 hours long. I didn't Jesus even bother watching Christ. It. I just looked up titles and watched trailers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'm sure, look, I think they had interviews with a bunch of devs from various games. So if you've got 4 hours to spare that you haven't...
Play a video game instead.
That you haven't blown watching the Snyder Cut...
oh my god, well I know I'd rather watch the Xbox showcase. That's very true. I can't talk. I actually watched the Snyder Cut.
Yeah. You've defined the bottom of 4 hours, Levins. Let's go up a little bit. Yeah, so super super exciting. All a bit like, with the exception of, you know, you mentioned Arena Boy. I think everything was a little bit light on release dates, but you know, it's good to have them on, you know, on the radar now.
Yeah, for sure, definitely. Cool, man. Thanks for doing all that hot research for us.
No worries.
And yeah. Good to know there's a bunch of games coming this year. Hopefully this year.
Well, fingers crossed. So I believe that you have conquered a
yes.
game.
No longer am I pathless. My path is now defined. And that path is probably about 2 more hours of this game so I can get a Platinum Shrew trophy. so yeah, I finally finished the Pathless. Last week I thought I was going to begin the episode by saying, "Hey everyone, I finally finished the Pathless." But one of our listeners, Francois from the Discord, the All the Small Games Discord that you can join at patreon.com/allthesmallgames, he's mentioned, "Hey, make sure you get all the gifts from the various gods before you progress to the end of each level." And I was like, "But I'm on the last level and I haven't gotten any of the gifts like so far." And he was like, "Just go back to the beginning and start getting them. Trust me, it's worth it. Something very cool happens." So, I mean, you've only played like the first boss of this game, right?
Yeah, so I've gotten through the first boss.
So in this game, you play a girl with a bow and an arrow who approaches a place, a fallen god, basically, a dying ginormous eagle. And she gifts you your own little eagle who becomes... like basically that's on your left arm, and then your right arm is the bow and arrow, or she's on your shoulder or flies around with you basically. And so you use your bow and your arrow and your eagle to traverse this like kind of Breath of the Wild-esque kind of slightly barren landscape with various temples and shrines and things like that to explore. Your goal is to free the children of the dead god that you met at the beginning of the game, because they have all turned evil. And so you have to first visit a bunch of shrines, solve a bunch of puzzles that unlocks you have to then chase down the god, and then you fight the god, and then you're able to progress higher up and higher and higher and higher until you fight the god slayer, who is the guy who corrupted all the gods to begin with, I guess. So you basically, yeah, it's quite it pushes you on a linear path, I guess, more so than other games like this that I've played. There's kind of no incentive or no known incentive to stay in the levels that you've essentially beaten before progressing to the next one. And so you could very, you know, briskly beat this game in like 4 hours or so.
Okay.
And I was on my way to doing that, but... I went back to the beginning, and you basically have to if you solve all of the puzzles in the game, you get all of these different little talismans that are linked to each of the gods. And when you get all 9 of the extra talismans, you revisit the area where you fought that boss. Okay, spoilers for... It's not really a story spoiler. This is what happens. I'm saying this as an incentive for people to stick around in the levels, like because I had no idea. Like, John, I don't think you're going to be mad when you find out what happens.
Sure.
So you light up these 9 talismans at the place where you fought the boss, and then the spirit of that boss appears, and they've been vanquished of all of the corruption. And so you have to chase them through the land on... they pretty much run around the entire map, and you have to kind of chase them the entire time. And then when you they land at one spot, and you go and visit them at the spot that they stopped at, and then they like you kind of meditate at their spot, and then their enormous skeleton appears on the map. And you go visit their spirit one more time, and they give you a gift. John, the gifts are fucking great. They are like just like upgrades that make traversal that much more fun and cool. Like there's like one of them is like you have like this kind of meter down the bottom of the screen, and that's your speed meter, I guess, your stamina. And normally you have to kind of constantly add to this by shooting little flying talismans in the air as you run. But the first gift you get is one that has your stamina constantly replenishing itself.
Oh, that's awesome.
So you never have to fully worry about being completely depleted of it. And then, they continue. Mostly they're like just kind of like upgrades to like speed bursts you get. You eventually get this awesome thing where because you flap, like when you're holding the eagle, you can go higher and higher, kind of like in a short hike. But you eventually get one where if you hold it down, you just soar really fast and really high up in the sky. And one of the final upgrades is linked to that. And it just made like the final like moments of traversing the enormous map that I'd conquered that much more fun and rewarding. It's a great game to fuck around in, just kind of like fly around aimlessly and look for cool secrets. There's still a few scattered throughout the game. I haven't looked at the trophy information. I think it's in it. It seems achievable, but if it is something like go and find every single fallen corpse or get every piece of lore from the game,
sure,
and there's no map, I'm not going to do it, because that'll just be me wandering around aimlessly. But it's really cool in that, like, yeah, you like in order to find secrets in this game, you fly as high as you can, and then you turn on essentially like detective mode. You can't have detective mode on when you're running, so sure, it's best to do when you're in the air. And then you look for it kind of like you see like a red mist over the places that you haven't the puzzles you haven't solved yet, and then you head to that spot and get solving. It's a gorgeous game. It's so fun. I loved it. I mean, the final boss battle, I think, is the fact that there even are boss battles in this game. Like, some of them were really good, but the final one just feels like just your substandard. Like, just like this is the final boss. You're fighting a very big version of the boss that you fought earlier, and he's kind of like moving from left to right and shooting things at you. It's like, you know, it's whatever. It's a boss. Congratulations. Yeah. But the exploration and traversal in this game is like exactly my kind of shit. I think was it Team Ico who did Ico and Shadow of the Colossus?
Then
they did that The Last Guardian game. Like if they released this game, like the Pathless would be one of the most celebrated games of the last decade. It's very similar in tone to Colossus and Ico. Sorry if I'm pronouncing that wrong. But yeah, I just think that like this is such a an underrated game. And I really hope that, if you are someone that likes Breath of the Wild, Shadow of the Colossus, you know, games like that where there are these kind of like light environmental puzzle solving, but mostly it's about exploration and you know, fun upgrades that make exploration easier and more fun. Like some of the stuff in the final land that you're exploring, the mountain tundra, is just so enormous. And you basically have to just like, almost like a short hike, how you need to keep getting as many feathers so you can fly as high as possible. There are some places that you just can't get to until you've upgraded yourself enough.
Sure.
And getting there is so great. I love this game, man. The Pathless. It's excellent.
I am definitely looking forward to returning to it. Especially now that you look, giant skeletons coming out of the ground. Sold. You had me there. love a giant skeleton. I definitely agree. I think I've said on previous episodes, I wish my first encounter with this game hadn't been on Apple Arcade, but if I'd actually played it properly on PC or console, like I should have, really wish, I mean, it's PlayStation exclusive on console, isn't it?
I think it might be.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's someone out there that has finished it on Apple Arcade. That would be baffling to me.
You could not handle the speed at which the game operates without constantly running into walls.
Maybe I'll go back to it now that I've actually finished it properly and see how awful it is.
I mean, look, it's one of those things where if you had a controller, it would probably be fine, at least operating the game, but it will tear your battery apart.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, I should have probably spent playing the Pathless. I threw into two different games this week, Levins.
And two brand new ones?
Two fairly brand new games. Well, one brand new and one that's been around for a while. And these games essentially define the top and bottom of sort of like, how to put this? One is incredibly highbrow, and the other is pretty goddamn lowbrow.
Hell yeah, I can't wait to hear about the second one.
I made sure to do this to, like, balance the two out, essentially. So I'll start with the highbrow one. The highbrow one is Genesis Noir. So Genesis Noir came out, about 4 or 5 days ago. It's out on, I think, everything. Oh, it's out on Xbox One, Microsoft Windows, Mac OS, and Switch.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an adventure game, kind of point and clickish. Not that much really. There are times where you kind of control the character moving through a 3D space. There are times where you're clicking around. The main character, this guy called No Man, who's kind of a guy that's a bit down on his luck. The game starts with him like selling watches to people on the street to earn up enough money to buy food. And then as the game progresses, you realize that there is a woman that you love. And when you go to visit her, she is in the process of being murdered. So she's a jazz singer called Miss Mass, and she's being murdered by a jealous saxophonist called Golden Boy. So you burst into the room, and Golden Boy's got a gun out, and he pulls the trigger and shoots at Miss Mass. But the gunshot itself becomes this kind of stylized representation of the Big Bang and the development of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And so to figure out how to save the woman that you love, you need to explore the sort of length and breadth of creation to discover a means of doing that. So it's got this really, like, the story itself has this real grounding in, like, science and very interesting kind of elements of physics and biology and all that kind of stuff to do with how the universe got to be how it is now, which just, you know, as a man who is a big fan of like Bill Bryson's A Short History of Nearly Everything and various, you know, interesting books about science, when I realized what was going on, I was like, oh my god, this is amazing. This is like playing these little mini games and solving these little puzzles that are very abstract representations of scientific concepts, particularly those around, like, you know, what happened just after the Big Bang with gases and coalescing and forming stars and all this kind of stuff. I was in hog heaven. It was fantastic. Especially since this...
The graphics look unbelievable in this game. This like, that was is like the main draw card for me.
Maybe the most visually stunning game I've played in years. It is this beautiful, like, stark black and white contrast with gold accents throughout. Very kind of Saul Bass, very like, you know, like the guy that inspired Ape Out. So there's elements of that in there. It's got really dynamic animations to it. It just looks incredible. And there are certain, like, because there's multiverse theory folded into all of it as well, there are certain scenes where, like, it'll go from the view looking directly at your character to, like, expand out and show hundreds of your characters in a row going through hundreds of the same situation kind of thing. And it's just absolutely beautiful to look at. The whole thing is like shown as a kind of detective noir tale, so it's got like a nice sultry jazz kind of soundtrack throughout. I finished it just yesterday and thoroughly like was very hooked on it throughout, because I wanted to know like what's the next little thing. Because the way it's arranged in chapters, and you sort of search through this Big Bang gunshot and find various points that are like... So many of the points are just like little animations of you like lifting up a star and looking underneath, and it's like nothing under there. But occasionally you run into these little golden diamonds that give you another chapter to play through. So I was definitely like, okay, gotta search more. So overall, it was a good experience. I will say, though, playing on Switch, I had definitely a few moments where some of the puzzles bugged out, and I had to kind of, like, exit my game at that point in time and go back to the main menu and then continue, which was frustrating because it doesn't save you at the point you're at. It just puts you back at the beginning of the chapter again. And I had twice the game actually crashed on me. So, like, kick me back to the Switch menu. I don't know if it's the same on PC or Xbox. Maybe the Switch build is a little unstable at this point in time. I don't see it as too huge of a problem. Like, they'll patch it, they'll stabilize it, it'll work out fine in the end. The story sometimes gets a little bit enigmatic. Like, I could follow a lot of it, but there were times where I was kind of like, how does this relate to the wider thing that's going on, essentially? Because it does become this very sort of grand tale of, like, cosmic beings and gods and stuff like that. And so having sort of all the science stuff at the beginning and then some of the more mystical stuff at the end, I wouldn't say there's a disconnect between the two, but I did get a little woolly on what was going on towards the end. And some of the puzzles, when I say puzzles, I mean some of them are super simple. Some of them are all almost like toys. Like, there's a part of the game that's very focused on music. And with a lot of those ones, it's just like there's some Simon Says kind of call and response with a bass player, and you have a saxophone and you just press buttons. There are other moments where you can just like, as you move your mouse around the screen or the cursor around the screen, it'll play like a note, and so you can kind of like jam with the jazz track that's playing.
Right.
But then there are other ones, like you're in a laboratory on Mars, operating a Hadron Collider style thing, and you need to tune all these various machines. And the game doesn't hold your hand when it comes to puzzles. It doesn't really give you instructions. It just kind of lets you figure things out on your own. And there are times where I was like, yep, that's really helpful, that really works. And there are other times where I was like, just a little nudge in the right direction would deal with some of this frustration I've got in trying to get past this puzzle. The laboratory puzzle I was telling you about is maybe one of the toughest in the game, because each round you get another machine added that you have to tune. And I think there's five or six rounds to get through, and I'm... The first time trying it, I'd made it through five rounds, and then the game crashed. And I was like, I've got to do this again? Fuck! But like I said, I made it through to the end. As you said earlier, and as I effusively gushed over, the graphics in this game, the art is definitely one of the biggest selling points. It's fucking incredible to look at. The story is really interesting. It even, like, there are a few little bits and pieces of science that I was like, I've never heard of that before. I'm gonna hop online and look up some more about that when I get the chance. But teething troubles aside, I think this is a great game. This is definitely worth checking out. If you're into that kind of adventure game stuff, and if you like science and whatnot, I don't think it's much of a quote unquote Levin's game. In the same way that Kentucky Route Zero.
Okay, right, sure.
Yeah. Like, it's just, you know, I think you're able to go, like, this is a fantastic game, it's just not for me. Not, it's a horrible game because I don't like it. I enjoyed my time with it. Highly recommend it to other people. Now, that's the highbrow Levin's, and oh my god, mm-hmm. how high that brow was. Let's get in the gutter, baby. Let's roll around in the mud. Landlord Super. So, you know me. You know that I am a big fan of simulation games. I've joined the Viscera cleanup detail. I've snow run. I've, you know, all sorts of games like that. I've flipped houses, etc. So,
you've clicked cookies.
Landlord Super is a first-person game where you're a guy whose father has just died and he has left you a plot of land with a half-built house on it. You owe £5,000 to a company that was helping you with something. So what you need to do is finish building this house and get some tenants in to start earning you money. It's all set in 1980s Britain. So this is like the depth of the Thatcher years when unemployment is everywhere. And, you know, everybody's a bit hard done by. So you start the game in your caravan. You can walk into town. When you walk into town, you could go to the job center and try to get a job to earn some money to pay for building materials. You can go to the pub. You can walk around town and collect scrap and sell it at the scrap merchant to earn some money that way. All with the goal of, like, trying to get enough money to buy tools, buy materials, and start actually trying to put the finishing touches on this house. So there is kind of a bit of a story to it. Like, various people you meet in town will give you tasks to do, or give you advice on how you should be building stuff. Like, it's... that's very handy because I'm sort of looking at this like, I've never built a house before. But the guy in town, Scouse Jimmy, he's got all the knowledge that you need at the pub. You can, at any point, you can look down at your body and it will give you an option to interact with your fly. And if your bladder has anything in it, you can open your fly and just take a piss wherever you want. Although you'll probably get in trouble.
Did you try it?
No, I've only yet pissed in, like, I think I've pissed in the toilet in my caravan. And
dude, piss everywhere, man. What are you doing?
Yeah, why are you wasting your time in this game? I do want to try...
what are you playing? The Piss List?
I do want to try pissing in the pub to see if that gets me thrown out.
Yeah, that's great.
But, like, you can like, whenever, you know, when Scouse Jimmy was telling me how to lay a foundation in my house...
piss on,
like,
Scouse Jimmy.
That's probably a good idea, because at the beginning of the game, you catch him trying to break into your building site. But he's like, you can get the materials you need at this place. Or I know number 9 is redoing its back patio, so you can just go and steal that shit from there. And it's like, cool. I love it. Morally gray.
You can get drunk, right? Does that affect the gameplay?
Probably. I've not gone full drunk at the moment. I started playing
John,
last night.
John, what are you doing?
I only started playing last night, Levins. I'm trying to at least lay a foundation on my house before I start completely ripping it up in this game. But just for you, when I play tonight, I will experiment with these two things. Because there
Thank
is
you.
A police...
Stop laying foundations and start laying shits on Scouse Jimmy.
Whoa, Jesus. There is a police station in town, and I wonder if they kind of figure in as well. It is, so I'm playing it on Steam. It is an early access game. So I'm sort of at that point where I'm like, do I become devoted to it now and play it like crazy and maybe burn out my desire to play it? Or do I go like, okay, I really like this game, but what I'm going to do is, because it's early access, I'm going to put it away for a few months, keep an eye out for when it's gone like version 1.0, and then dive back in and play the game as it probably is. Art style, it's kind of blocky polygons. You know, the town you live in is a shitty English town during the 80s. The character models look really kind of weird and fucked up. So I'm generally...
Can you piss on Margaret Thatcher?
God, I hope so. Imagine if
I'll buy a PC if you can.
You finish your house and then you have a boss battle where you have to piss on Margaret Thatcher. That would be amazing. I mean, the art style is really nothing to write home about, but it works perfectly for what the game is. It's a two-person dev team, and the previous game that this team released, who is the... I should say who it is. Oh, going back, can't believe I didn't say it. Genesis Noir was developed by Feral Cat Den and published by Fellow Traveler, who are a publisher who kind of really focus on narrative experiences. And Landlord Super is by a developer called Minsk Works. And the previous game they made is called Jalopy, and it's a game about driving a shitty car through Eastern Europe. So I will probably...
It does love the best parts of the world, don't they?
I will probably be playing that one next. But
voice acting? Like, how British is this?
No. There's no voice acting. You just get like that kind of like... Bah, 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 when a text bubble comes up. But they have...
That's like, how British people sound to me anyway. It's fine.
Exactly. But they have varied kind of the sounds that they make for various characters. So there's at least kind of that. Oh, and it's really... Like, speaking of that, it is fun. There's no real voice acting in Genesis Noir, but it's jazz instruments as the voices, which kind of ties into the whole thing, which is really nice. But I have flipped my lid for Landlord Super. I think, you know, I was talking about putting it down. I can't. I'm so into it now.
Yeah, man, you got to play it.
I can't be bothered not playing it. I've gone full British on this one. But yeah, it's been like I'm definitely looking forward to sinking a bunch more time in this. And by next week, I will have a report on what happens if you piss in various locations.
And thank you so much.
Is Margaret Thatcher a boss?
It's what any true games journalist would do for their best
indeed.
Friend.
It's like, can you pet the dog? Can you piss anywhere?
Can you piss on Scouse Jimmy?
Yeah.
.com. Register it.
So okay, yeah, those are...
Yeah, you've sold me on one of those games. Guess which one?
Yeah, look, buy a PC.
I know a lot of people are enjoying Genesis Noir in the All the Small Games Discord. So it's cool that that you were able to take one for the team and play a celebrated highbrow game.
Yes. I'm not kidding. I literally picked Landlord Super to play because I was like, this is the diametric opposite of Genesis Noir.
The graphics are so fucking gross. It's so good.
They're so crunchy. It's great.
So that is it for this episode. If you would like... a new episode before the next one, I believe we're going to try and record our big special all about the Supergiant game Bastion later this week. And the only way for you to not only listen to that episode but also contribute to the episode is to head to patreon.com/allthesmallgames. Sign up now and we're going to do a big call out for people to send their thoughts on this excellent game and I guess their thoughts on... you know, what Supergiant games became, what influence was taken from the game. There's a lot to explore. The history, our favorite rep. I'm going to rank all the weapons.
Ooh, nice.
That's like, I'm like, oh yeah. Tomorrow night, I'm going to sit down. I'm going to rank all the Bastion weapons. So look forward to hearing me talk through that. But yeah, if you want to join in on our big review of this classic game, Bastion, it's going to be our first Game of the Month club for our Patreon. Head on over to patreon.com/allthesmallgames. Sign up $5 a month or $10 a month if you want us to sing a song about you live on the podcast. I know which option I'd be choosing. Again, that's patreon.com/allthesmallgames. John, thank you so much for another wonderful episode. Now go piss on somebody.
Done. Scouse Jimmy, where you at?
Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.